Well, of course, it's always a pleasure to be here and to meet so many old friends at such nice conferences. So what I want to speak today on is a topic in, you could say, the infinite dimensional theory of Lie groups. Lie groups in the sense of smooth manifolds. So my Lie groups are, well, I will always call them G, are meant as groups in the category of smooth manifolds. So more precisely, G will be a manifold modeled on some infinite dimension vector space or some locally convex space. With smooth group operations. And somehow you do not really have to know more about infinite dimensional Lie groups here than the definition. Now, the main point is that you just take the same definition as in the finite dimensional case and you verify that in the appropriate context, everything that you want to do works. Besides that, you just have to avoid some tools that you only have in the finite dimensional theory, like inverse function theorem, least squares theorem, for example. I mean, they just don't exist in this general setup, so you have to avoid them. But you don't really have to know what a locally convex space here is or whatever. So just think of it as a manifold with smooth group operations, and its Lie algebra well, you cannot use the exponential function whatsoever, but what you could still say is that you take the left invariant vector fields and this will do it. So you just take the left invariant vector fields on G. And of course, the left invariant vector fields form a natural Lie algebra because you have a bracket on vector fields. But as a space, you prefer to think of them as the tangent space in the identity. And so as a space, the Lie algebra is isomorphic to the model space, so it's a locally convex space, and it comes along with a continuous Lie bracket. So it's a continuous Lie bracket. So you need the vector field interpretation to get the Lie bracket. And then verify that this is continuous. So this is what I would call a Lie group here. Okay, so I'll use this black box for that. Now, what are abelian extensions? Of Lie groups. Well, I think it's pretty clear what an abelian extension of groups is. So for groups, you say that an abelian extension is a short exact sequence where this group here is abelian. And here you want a little bit more. So you want that this is a short exact sequence of Lie groups, of course. And this means that these maps here should be morphisms of Lie groups, meaning morphisms in this category, so smooth group homomorphism. And so what you want, well, firstly, this group should be abelian, of course. And, well, to make the exactness precise in the context of Lie groups, you want to have that this map, although it's smooth surjective homomorphism, you want that it locally has smooth sections so that you really here get a principal bundle structure in the smooth category. So we want that there exist smooth local sections of this quotient map. And this is a natural assumption, this this setup. If you don't have that, you can say much less. Okay. So first observation one makes here is that when you have such a situation, you have a natural action of your group G on this abelian group A, because A is a normal subgroup of G hat, so you have the conjugation action of G hat, but A acts trivially on itself because it's abelian. So this action factors to an action of G. So A is a smooth module, G module, by, well, an element Q of G acts on A by conjugation of G. And smooth module means a building group with a module structure, which is a Lie group, and the action is a smooth map. So the way we think about this here is that an extension is something which comes with some input data, which is G plus A viewed as a G module, and then you put them together to get a new group. So we think of, or we say, G hat is an extension of G by the G module. So we fix the G module structure on A in what we do here. And this is natural in this context. Okay, so once you have this, you want to classify such extensions for given G and A up to a certain equivalence. And this equivalence is the natural one, equivalence of extensions, where you can best describe it in terms of a diagram. So if you have two extensions, say G1 hat and G2 hat, you want to call them equivalent if you can fill in this diagram by a morphism, say alpha. If you have such a morphism, so which induces the identity on A and on G, then you call this an equivalence of the extension. And then you may write X G A for the set of equivalence classes. Okay. Now in this setup, you always have at least one extension directly at hand, which is something like a base point in the set. So typical example is G hat, semi-direct product with A. G, of course, this is an extension that you could always produce because A is abelian. So for abelian extensions, you always have that. Yeah, I always fix the G module structure on A. So whenever, by A, I mean the G module. No. I mean, otherwise you have to just ugly notation. Well, another kind of extension that we already saw, or some of us saw last week, in Kumar's lectures, where when, well, we had the extension of this form here, where this was a wild group, and this was the maximal torus, the inner complex algebraic group, and then the normalizer of the maximal torus does always have such an abelian extension structure where the wild group acts in a natural way on the maximal torus. And this is a highly non-trivial extension. I mean, it's not just a semi-direct product, it's something more complicated. You cannot split it by homomorphism of W back. Okay. So there are non-trivial abelian extensions. So to get a better description of this base here, what we have to do is we want to compare general abelian extensions with semi-direct products and see how they differ from this sort of base point. So what we want to introduce are product coordinates. On G hat. well, how do you do that? Well, in algebraic group theory, what you do is you just fix a section from G to G hat. So map with Q after sigma is the identity of G. And here we have assumed that there exist smooth local sections, so we know at least that there exist such sections which are smooth in an identity neighborhood. So we do that, and this is the best possible that we can do here. So smooth, say, near the identity, meaning in an identity neighborhood. So such sections do always exist. And once you have this, you get a description of G hat as a product set. So you have a map from A times G to G hat, mapping a pair AG to A times sigma of G. And this is bijective because you had a section. And then you can describe the group structure in terms of these product coordinates. So we can write G hat as the product with the multiplication, which now is sort of twisted, AG times A prime G prime is, well, for a semi-direct product, you would expect this term here and then this one, but now you have an additional summand, which is, coming from the difference to being a semi-direct product. If you have a semi-direct product here, you can choose this section as a group homomorphism. So then you just don't have any distortion here. But in general, this F is a function from G times G to A, which measures how far the sigma is away from being a homomorphism. So this is F of G, G prime, sigma G prime, times sigma G, G prime inverse. So this vanishes if sigma is a homomorphism. And in general, it measures the twist that you have in the picture. Pardon? No, because I'm not on the Lie algebra level here. So group operations do not have to be symmetric in this sense. I mean, for a semi-direct product, you would just have this factor here. That just be, because you just have to shift the G around the A prime to reorder terms somehow. And this is, with this F is a group cocycle. It's group two cocycle. Okay, but it's not just an arbitrary cocycle because this section that we had was smooth near the identity, so this function will again be smooth close to the identity. So this is smooth near the identity in G times G. Okay. So you see the class of cocycles coming up in this picture, and now we can define the corresponding cocycle group. Oops. There's some of these super algebras around. Okay, so the cocycles we need will be the following groups. So these are the locally smooth cocycles, two cocycles. And more precisely, these are functions F from G times G to A, such that, well, first you have a condition guaranteeing that the pair 0, 1 is the identity in this group. So you want F of 1, G, F of G, 1, 0, then you have the cocycle condition F G G prime plus F G G prime G 2 prime.
What?
Sorry. Of course, you want to list the identity to the identity. You can always do that. But this is just a matter of convenience here. So this is G times F G prime G 2 prime plus F of G G prime G 2 prime, and F should be a smooth Navier identity. Close the bracket somehow. Okay, so this ensures the right identity element, and this is just the associativity condition for this multiplication up there. And of course, whenever I talk about two co-cycles, I also have two co-boundaries, and these are the functions of the following form. So f of g g prime is h of g plus g h of g prime minus h of g g prime, where h from g to a is smooth near the identity. And it's easy to verify that these are two cocycles, and they are somehow responsible for the different choices of the sections that I can make up there. And these sets here have natural group structures because you can multiply these functions by multiplying them pointwise. They have values in the Abelian group. And you see that, I mean, with these conditions here, that the sum of two co-cycles is again a co-cycle. So you can view this subset here as a subgroup, and then you can form the quotient group and get a cohomology group. So this is then co-cycles modulo co-boundaries. The second V cohomology group of G with values in A. So the Lie part is this local smoothness here for the cocycles.
Maybe
question,
maybe some things, but if you take an element in
V,
in what sense is the
corresponding extension true? Well, I have not said so far what the corresponding extensions are. So let me say that first. So far, this is just the definition of a group that I assign to this pair G and the G module A. Now, of course, you want these groups to classify extension classes. So this is theorem one here. And there's one non-trivial part here, namely that for each such co-cycle, so locally smoothness required, the group, did I say how I call this group? The group A times G with multiplication twisted by F, and I want to denote it this way here. This has a natural Lie group structure. Lie group structure. Had such that the corresponding map to G, which maps this pair just to the second factor, defines an extension of G by this A module, G module A, the Lie group extension of G by A. Pardon? Yeah, A is the pairs A comma 1. The non-trivial part here is that, if F is 0, you just have the semi-direct product. Then you don't have to worry about anything. But in general, the group operation that you write down there would not be smooth if you just take the product manifold, because your co-cycle is not a globally smooth function. So what you have to do there, and this is always also a problem in the continuous category, you have to create the topology out of the local information that you have. So you use this as a formula for the group multiplication near to the identity. So there you really have a nice product situation. And then sort of use this to get an atlas of the whole group. And then, well, you still have this as a global formula, but the group need not be a direct product of manifolds. So it could be sort of twisted. Yeah, so this answers your question. Okay, so this is the construction, how to go from co-cycles to extensions. And now this induces a bijection from H to the extension class. By taking the class of the co-cycle F and going to the class of the group A times F, T. So this is a Lie version of the classical group theoretic situation here. Well, I have to assume this is point that G is connected here. So otherwise, the situation is sort of more complicated. One has to use smaller classes of co-cycles. Okay, so this is the description of this set here in terms of the group cohomology. Now, this reduces the problem of describing this set or this set a priori, which now turns out to be a group, as an abelian group. But now the hard part is that to calculate group cohomology is usually quite complicated. So what you can do is calculate Lie algebra cohomology, because this eventually boils down to linear algebra, and this is something one could sort of try. Now what you want to do is reduce this to the corresponding Lie algebra picture. So abelian. Right. I always write A for the module, so the module structure is implicit here. So varying the module structure is a different story, but this is sort of not the point here. Now, abelian extensions of Lie algebras, this is just the same picture, so let me be more brief here. Well, say if G is a locally convex Lie algebra, meaning it is a locally convex space with continuous Lie bracket, and A a G module, so continuous G module. And continuous means that the module operation is continuous. So this module operation is a continuous map. Then one can define Lie algebra co-cycles, etc. So now these are continuous co-cycles. So functions from G times G to A are continuous, satisfying the co-cycle condition that if you take the cyclic sum of the following expressions, then this vanishes. So for the two co-cycles, it's so easy to write it down. So these are six terms, and they have to cancel. So these are the two co-cycles. Now the two co-boundaries are the functions of the form lambda of, wait, let me write it this way, x times lambda y minus y times lambda x minus lambda applied to the bracket, where lambda is a continuous map from G to A. And easy to see that these are co-cycles, and again you can form the quotient space. C2 continuous modulo B2. So this is the continuously algebra cohomology. In degree 2. And, pardon? Yeah, continuous alternating map. Okay, and again, these classify certain extensions of the Lie algebra. So these classify the extensions, the A extensions, G hat of G. Well, via the following construction, you just have to say how to construct the Lie algebra once the co-cycle is given. So to omega, we assign the Lie algebra A cross omega G with a bracket AX and A prime X prime. Well, it's now again slightly twisted variant of the semi-direct sum. So you have x a prime minus x prime a plus the co-cycle, and in the second component just the bracket. So maybe this answers your question from before here. So this is the picture on the Lie algebra side. Excuse me?
Only those extensions which are
this. Right. Yeah, I should say that here. Classify the extensions which are split, which are linearly split. So there exists a continuous linear section. And this is a non-trivial condition here. I mean, these are just those extensions which I can write topologically as a product space. This is not always true for extensions of topological vector spaces, but these are the extensions that one could hope to classify by co-cycles, and for the others, it's just functional analysis. One cannot classify the corresponding extensions. Here?
No, down back here.
Here?
Because all, see, these things are all direct products, right? The G hat.
Yeah.
And
group theoretically, it's
theoretically.
A type of, yeah.
Sorry, in this X thing, you have some that might not be. So I see an injection.
No, I mean, on the group level, you could always use this same trick to write any extension as a product set, and then describe the group multiplication in these terms. So you can...
Yes, but it has also to be a product manifold.
No. I mean, the manifold structure that I construct here is not the product manifold structure in general. So locally, it's a manifold product, but globally, it is not. Well, the morphism of V groups. So it will automatically be an isomorphism. But I mean, what I sketched over here is that any extension has this form. And then this is the other part, that for any F, you get such an extension, then it's sort of formal business to see that the different choices of sections lead to co-cycles up to co-boundaries and so on. And these smoothness conditions are sort of compatible in this setup. Okay? Okay, so this is the Lie algebra picture. Again, as Dietrich mentioned here, you need some topological condition.
Second line, f minus x prime a are f
plus omega x prime. Here's the comma. So this is meant to be in the left part. Okay, so this is the Lie algebra part. Now, to connect these two pictures, well, one does have to do some passing to derivatives. So one has a map. There is a group homomorphism even. D going from group cocycles to Lie algebra cocycles, well, which is some sort of derivative. So given such a group cocycle F, you want to produce a Lie algebra cocycle, so this has two arguments. So you apply it to X and Y, and then it's just given by second derivatives of this function F in the pair 1, 1. And then this has two arguments now, which are vectors. So the first one is x0, and the second one is 0, y. And then you make this cosymmetric. So this is minus d squared f in 1, 1, y0, 0, 0. So this is the natural way to differentiate group cocycles to get Lie algebra cocycles, because what you want is that that the Lie algebra of the group A times FG is in a natural way A times DFG. And when you calculate the Lie bracket in terms of the group structure, you find this formula for taking derivatives. Yeah, right. I mean, this is the Lie algebra of the abelian group A. It's the Lie algebra of the group A, yeah. So I use this notation consistently, so German letters for Lie algebras, capital letters for groups. Okay, so you have this map, and it's easily seen that this factors to a map on the level of cohomology. So this induces a map B from group cohomology to Lie algebra cohomology. And now you have a situation where you could say that this is the site that you could hope to calculate directly once the Lie algebra and the module are given. This is the site that you are really interested in. Now the question is, how does this site differ from the other one? So what you have to understand is the kernel and the image of this map, D. So problem is describe the kernel of D and the image of D. Okay, let's see how we can do that. So the hardest part here is to determine the image. I mean, the kernel is not such a big deal. So what does this mean? This means that we start with the Lie algebra cocycle and want to see whether it comes from the group cocycle. So this is some integration process. And as usual in mathematics, differentiation is quite simple. You just write down a formula. But integrating could be quite complicated. So what we have to see now is what the conditions are on a Lie algebra cocycle to correspond to a global group extension. So these are integrability conditions. So this is now 4. And this is the central part of this business here, to see how, when you can integrate the Lie algebra co-cycle to a group co-cycle. Okay, so how do you do that? So we make some global assumption here, which is not too bad. I mean, we want G to be connected. And for A, we want that it is a quotient of a vector space by a discrete subgroup. So the vector space, of course, should be its Lie algebra. Gamma A in A is a discrete subgroup. And we need some completeness on this vector space. We want that A is complete. And well, this assumption here is quite mild because all abelian groups known so far, which are modeled on complete vector spaces, do have this form. So there's an open problem in infinite dimensional theory here, but we make this assumption that A has this form. So this is like Rn modulo Cn, for example. Okay, now we want to see these integrability conditions. So let us start with the Lie algebra co-cycle. Complete locally convex space, yeah. So I will need this for integration, so that certain integrals exist.
The completeness assumption is just on this locally convex space.
Just the category. Yeah, it's just for A. I mean, as a local assumption for the theorem, sort of. You don't need it for G, but just, well, for certain integrals to make sense. But this is not too bad anyway. Okay, so let's start with the Lie algebra co-cycle. And now we want to see from this co-cycle whether one can integrate it to a group co-cycle. So what we do first is observe that this omega can be viewed as a bilinear map, alternating map on the tension space in one of the Lie group to this space A. And then we can continue this map to global two form on the group by using left translation. But what we don't want is a left invariant form. We need an equivariant so that the module structure is somehow taken into account. So this defines a unique A-valued two-form, to write it omega with EQ for equivariant. So this is a two-form on G with values A, and it is determined by the following two conditions. Well, it should restrict to this form in the identity. Equivalent form at the identities omega. And well, the equivariance means that if you take a left multiplication and pull it back, what you want is the representation of G on A composed with omega. Okay, so this is left multiplication, and this is the representation G on A. So if the module is trivial, this means just that the form is left invariant. If the module is non-trivial, what happens if you pull it back by a left multiplication? You just take the old form and compose with a linear map in the target space. So this is how this is meant. And well, of course, you can use this formula to define the two form, and then you see that this is a unique correspondence. Okay, so this globalizes already somehow. We passed from a Lie algebra co-cycle to a two form on the group, and one main point here is that this correspondence from alternating forms on the Lie algebra to differential forms is natural in the sense that it commutes with the Dirac differential and the Lie algebra differential. So this form has the property that the differential of the equivariant form is the same as the equivariant form assigned to the differential of omega, which is 0. This is 0 because omega is a cocycle. So cocycles correspond to closed forms. So this means omega is a closed form. Okay, so if you have a closed 2 form, we can use this to integrate it over two-dimensional manifolds. And so we use this that to define homomorphism, we call it the period homomorphism from pi 2 of G. So what is pi 2 of G here? These are the homotopy classes of maps from the 2 sphere into the group. So I think of this as the component group of the group of smooth maps from S2 to G. And from this, it goes to A. And what I do is I map I choose a smooth representative of this homotopy class, and I just integrate the 2 form over this map. So this is the integral of the pullback over the 2 sphere. So this is an A value 2 form on the 2 sphere with values in A. I integrate it, and I get something in A. So 2 forms can be integrated over 2 spheres, and this is what I do. And now the closedness is responsibility for the well-definedness of this map. So for any other representative of the homotopy class, I get the same integral. I mean, this is the closedness of the form. Pardon? Yeah, this is just a definition here of pi 2. And the homomorphism goes from pi 2 to A. Sorry. Now, the first integrability condition. What has to prove this? I mean, all these approximation theorems are, I mean, not valid in general infinite dimensionals. Or at least the proofs don't work that one traditionally has. Yeah, this is true. I mean, for maps with values in Lie groups, from compact manifolds with values in Lie groups, I use the group structure for the approximation. And what we always also do not have here is a Dirac theorem. So one has to be a bit careful by passing from forms to cohomology classes. So one has to do things more directly somehow. But which is no fault, nevertheless. I mean, one wants to get explicit criteria. So the first integrability condition now is, we call this I1, that the image of this period map, now this is a subgroup of this vector space A, is contained in gamma A, in this discrete subgroup. Now, this is a necessary condition. But this is not everything. Do I have a third blackboard? Okay, so this is the first condition. Now, for the second condition, we have to go somewhat further. So what we had was this closed 2 form. Two form G. Now the next condition will be similar, but integral consists, come from integrals over one-dimensional manifolds. So we have to produce one form from this two form. So what we do is, for an element x in G, we assign the corresponding right invariant vector field. So these are the vector fields generating the left action of the group on itself. So this fits with the equivariance condition with xr in 1 x. So again, you have a one-to-one correspondence here. And then you can insert this vector field into this one form. What you get into this two form, so this is two form with xr in the first component. This leaves just one other argument. So what you get is a one form on G with values in A. But this completely loses its invariance properties, because this is right invariant, the form is left equivariant, so this is just some one form, and it does not have to be closed. Now, what I can do nevertheless, if I have a one form, I can integrate it over curves. For that, I don't need any closeness. So, for a smooth map from, say, the circle to G, we define the map I gamma, which goes from G to A. And this is done by, well, integrating this one form over gamma. So gamma is a loop with values in G, and now I can integrate this one form. So this is integral over S1 of the pullback of this one form. Now, the interesting point here, so this is a map, linear map from G to A, and this map turns out to be a Lie algebra cocycle. So this is a continuous Lie algebra cocycle. So this means, well, something which produces the co-boundary zero, the conditions are no longer visible. So this maps the bracket to x applied to I gamma y minus y to I gamma x. So gross homomorphism, people call these. Okay. So, now, for any loop in the Lie algebra, we get a Lie algebra cocycle. Now, one can expect, when one has such an assignment, that homotopy classes of loops would produce equivalent cocycles in terms of Lie algebra cohomology, and this is exactly what happens. So this leads to a homomorphism, eta omega, from pi 1 of G, so these are homotopy classes of loops, to the first continuous Lie algebra cohomology for using A. And this is now applied to a class of a loop. This is the class of I gamma, so integration over gamma. Okay, so this is, the second obstruction now is I2, eta omega should be 0. Yeah, I have to wipe somewhere. As a homomorphism. So this is a homomorphism from pi 1 to this cohomology group, and this should vanish. Okay, so the theorem is that the class of omega is contained in the image of D if and only if I1 and I2 are satisfied. So you have these two conditions, and I mean, the main point in these two conditions is that they are formulated completely in terms of the Lie algebra and the topology of the group. And this means that you can really evaluate them. So this is not just an abstract condition that some group co-cycle would vanish, because this is hard to verify. I mean, what you have is the Lie algebra, and in many situations you might hope to have access to the topology of the group. And this is really something that you can check. So this was one important point here, because you really want conditions that you could check for concrete examples, like diffeomorphism groups or mapping groups or whatever. Okay, so this answers the question what the image of this D is. And now, what is the kernel? Well, the kernel is determined by an exact sequence, as one would expect there. This is section 5. The exact sequence. Well, let me formulate this as theorem. Now, I keep the assumptions that I had on before on this blackboard about G connected and this abelian group A. Then there is an exact sequence of the following form. Well, it starts with the first Lie group cohomology of G with values in A. Well, I have to say, I need some notation here. If the group is connected, it always has universal covering. Universal covering group, just topologically. And the kernel of this covering map, QG, is isomorphic to pi 1 of G, as for general topological group. So connected groups always, Lie groups always have universal coverings, and the kernel is this abelian group, pi 1. So for Lie groups, I mean, Lie groups are locally, like open sets in locally convex spaces, so they are locally contractible. They always have universal. Right, they are at least that. I mean, they are even locally contractible. So this is fine for all higher cohomology. So they have universal covering spaces, and they are, again, manifolds carrying natural Lie group structure and so on. So the same argument as you do in the finite dimensional case works there. Okay, but this means that you can go from the cohomology of G by pulling it back to the universal covering group. And, well, then you do what one always does when one has such a situation. Then one restricts to the normal subgroup, restricts to pi 1. Now, here I need no smoothness because pi 1 is discrete. But here I have to take the invariant cohomology. And then here I have a connecting map C, which goes to H2. Yeah, because, well, I did not say how I define the G tilde module structure on A, but I just pull back the module structure. So pi 1 acts trivially. Yeah, otherwise I would have to write G tilde here. Okay, so, and here we have our D, which goes to Lie algebra cohomology. And here we have just seen how to produce a map P, which goes to, well, homomorphisms from pi 2 of G to A plus homomorphisms from pi 1 of G to Lie algebra cohomology. So this is the map that is defined by the two obstructions. Just make this precise.
Like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So connectedness of the group, and A is a quotient of a vector space by a discrete subgroup. Okay, so I have to say what these maps are. Now, here it's quite clear. I mean, you pull back co-cycles, and this is sort of natural. And here you can restrict co-cycles to the subgroup. And because G tilde acts trivially on its cohomology, you always end up in invariant cohomology classes by that. Now, this map here is something like associating a different bundle to the semi-direct product. So C goes from H1, pi 1 of G, G. This one, this space can be written a bit differently because this module is trivial for this group. So this is just group homomorphisms. So this is just the homomorphisms pi 1 of G into the fixed points of this group A. This is something much more concrete. And this goes into, see what the extensions are. So I take a homomorphism gamma and assign, well, first I take the semi-direct product of A with G tilde, and then I have the graph of the homomorphism as a central subgroup of this semi-direct product. So what I mod out is the graph of gamma, this is central, and discrete. And I can mod this out. It's central because it has image in the fixed points. So I can mod this out. And I get the sort of a twisted but flat extension of G by A. So these are image of C is the kernel of B. These are the flat extensions. Flat meaning that on the Lie algebra level, you just have a semi-direct. So the Lie algebra is just the semi-direct sum. So these are those coming from the from coverings, and which are trivial extensions if you pull them back to the universal covering group. You can say it that way. So this describes the kernel of D, and now I did already say how to describe the image of D. Now this map P is the following. In the first component, it's just the quotient map of A. This goes from this vector space to A, composed with a period map. In the second component, it's just the eta omega. So this goes from pi 2 of G to the group A, and this is just the map that we had. So the image of D is just the kernel of D. Okay, and this sort of gives the complete answer to the question how we can go from Lie algebra cohomology to group cohomology and see what the obstructions are. So these things are quite well visible. Now, some comments here. Of course, things are much easier when the group is simply connected, because then you don't have the C. You don't have the second part, which is sort of the more complicated one. And then you just have the group extensions as sitting inside of the Lie algebra extension. So you just have Lie algebra extension satisfying a certain additional integrability condition, and that's it. But the main point is that for many infinite dimensional groups, you just don't want to pass to the universal covering group because you don't know what it is. Like for diffeomorphism groups of a manifold, well, abstractly you can always define it, but you don't see it. So it's really important that you have other conditions like that. And you might very well show that these maps here are zero in cases where you don't even know what pi 1 is. Because, say, if this first cohomology here vanishes, then you don't have an obstruction coming from pi 1. So you can make arguments like that. Well, if T is finite dimensional, then pi 2 is always trivial by an old theorem of Élie Cartan. So this is something special coming in for infinite dimensional groups. And yeah, don't have time to discuss more concrete examples, but what one can do easily with that is deal with cases where, say, diffeomorphism groups act on modules of tensors on the manifold, then things are quite well visible, because an important point one has here is that the image of the period map, well, this is a subgroup of A priori, but this turns out to be always contained in the G-fixed part, which is much smaller. And in many situations, the G-fixed part is zero. So like if the diffeomorphism group acts on smooth functions, at least this space is just a constant functions for connected manifolds. And then you know that the image is a constant function, and then it's much easier to calculate this constant function than any more complicated object. So this is an important point here, that one knows this for the calculations. Okay, I think this is a good point to stop here. Thank you.